Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A year and a half after a Hägglunds aviation plane crashed into a mountain while flying between the western Alaska villages of Quinnahock and Togiak, the National Transportation Safety Board has released a report on the deadly crash. As Johanna Urich reports for KYUK, the NTSB is recommending sweeping changes to improve air safety in Alaska.
The investigation looked at why an experienced pilot who had flown the route many times flew his Cessna 208B caravan into a mountain outside of Togiak, killing all three on board. The National Transportation and Safety Board's investigators found no evidence that there was anything wrong with the pilot or the plane. They call this type of accident a controlled flight into terrain. It's usually caused by weather closing in, making it impossible for pilots to see where they're flying, and that appears to be what happened. Alaska has the highest rates of such accidents in the nation. NTSB Chairman Robert Sumwalt announced that Alaska needed to upgrade its aviation infrastructure. Everything from better weather reporting at tiny airstrips to communications and instrumentation so that pilots would have the capacity to fly in remote Alaska with instrument flight rules. Investigators found that this accident, like others of its kind, was the result of the pilot making a bad decision. During the meeting, board members amended their report that was already strongly worded to make it more stringent. They pushed for improving Alaska aviation infrastructure to the level enjoyed by the lower 48 and to require flight data recorders on small planes, along with upgrading training to better reflect conditions in Alaska. At no point did the NTSB investigators indicate that Hägglunds pilots are being pressured to fly in unsafe conditions. They even complimented the company for voluntarily going further in their training than that required by the FAA. The board did indicate that the FAA's failure to provide adequate oversight for that training, along with other issues, played a large part in the conditions that have led to Alaska's high number of aviation accidents. I'm Johanna Urich.
An Air Force service member was found dead at Eielson Air Force Base yesterday. An Air Force press release says the name of the individual discovered deceased at their residence Tuesday afternoon is being withheld until 24 hours after next of kin have been notified. It says the circumstances surrounding the death are being investigated by the Air Force and local law enforcement. Governor Bill Walker's Climate Action Leadership Team is meeting in Fairbanks today and tomorrow. The 20-member team appointed in December is charged with climate change mitigation, adaptation, research, and response. Team member, former North Star Borough Mayor Luke Hopkins, says the group is making use of work done on the issue by a similar panel during the Palin administration. Hopkins, who served on that panel, emphasizes that there are pressing issues related to the impacts of climate change, like communities threatened by erosion.
New talk, we have probably about three more years or four more years before homes and part of the school could be in the river.
Hopkins says the climate team is also working on ways to reduce Alaska's contribution of greenhouse gases that are driving climate warming. He says that means replacing fossil fuel burning with renewable energy sources and warns that the transition isn't happening fast enough to reach a state goal.
We heard from the Alaska Energy Authority that at the current rate we're moving into renewables, 1% a year to get to 50%, we have 100 years to go. That's not acceptable, and I think the team knows that.
Hopkins says the team receives a lot of agency input, but also wants to hear from the public, and people are invited to testify before the Climate Action Team during a listening session this afternoon.
There are many in our community in the interior that have very strong concerns and ideas about where we should be moving to, and that's what we want to hear.
The session is scheduled for 1:30 to 5 p.m. at the Westmark Hotel. The team meets Thursday at the University of Alaska Fairbanks to work on a plan addressing impacts and causes of climate change that's due to the governor by September. Hundreds of people from around Alaska are gathered at the Fairbanks Westmark Hotel for the 20th annual Rural Energy Conference. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Organizers say turnout for this year's conference is good and interest is keen in finding solutions to the growing problem of sky-high energy costs in Alaskan communities located far off the grid.
What this conference is really about, it's about bringing people together to share experiences, share stories on what works, what doesn't work, what direction they're going, try to make sure people have access to the kind of resources that they need to make sure their projects are developed in a successful way.
Gwen Holdman directs the Alaska Center for Energy and Power at UAF, which helps the Alaska Energy Authority organize the biennial conference. Holdman has attended all 20 of the events, and she says they've evolved in recent years as technological solutions to the problem of high energy costs have emerged.
20 years ago, there was really not that much going on in the terms of like innovative projects, integration of renewables. There really wasn't too much happening. There was a lot of interest, but not much was occurring at that time. And over time, that's really changed.
Holdman says earlier conferences focused on improving existing power generating systems. She says that changed a few years ago when the price of diesel and fuel oil rose sharply and utilities, especially those that serve smaller communities, started looking for alternatives.
After we saw the fuel spikes in 2008, there was a huge increase in activity.
Holdman says that's why conferees are talking a lot more now about employing technologies that improve efficiencies and about renewable energy sources such as woody biomass, wind, and solar to reduce the use of diesel to generate power. And she says industry is taking notice.
There's a lot of interest from companies in using Alaska as kind of an early adopter, first mover sort of market because our energy prices are higher. And so things work here today in ways that they don't necessarily work from an economic standpoint in other places in the United States right now.
Renewable energy expert Chris Rose agrees Alaska has become a leader in improving the microgrids that distribute power to small, isolated communities. But he says Alaska is still catching up on using alternative energy to generate heat and power.
In the lower 48 and in much of the rest of the world, renewable energy is actually mainstream. It's moved further, faster than even in places in Alaska.
Rose is executive director of the Renewable Energy Alaska Project. He says the state has more than 70 alternative energy technology projects underway, and he says the growing use of those technologies is reflected in the presentations being given at the conference and the conversations going on in the hallways.
How to make those projects better? How are they performing? What can we do on the human capacity side to make sure that we've got the right operations and maintenance? What can we be doing on an ongoing basis to update control systems that marry the diesel engines to the renewable energy project, whatever that might be?
Both Rose and Holdman agree that Alaskans will have to leverage the state's growing reputation as a proving ground for microgrids and renewable energy because state and federal funding like the Alaska Energy Authority's Renewable Energy Fund has dried up. So, Holdman says Alaskans must look to the private sector.
Some of our rural communities have the highest energy costs anywhere in the United States. And while that's a real challenge for us, it actually presents this opportunity in terms of being able to test new technologies, really gain expertise in that area, and potentially be able to market our expertise as Alaskans into other emerging places.
The Rural Energy Conference continues through noon Thursday at the Westmark. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.